Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today, we're going to journey from film school to the oil patch and to a brewery, one of the founding breweries here in Alberta in terms of like the whole craft brewery movement, because this brewery has been around for a while and steeped in great history, which I can't wait to get into. So welcome to the show, Caden Van Curen, the owner of Medicine Hat Brewing.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Okay, so let's dive right into a question off the top, and then we'll get into the backstory as to what Medicine Hat Brewing is all about and some of those history points that I talked about. So right off the top, what do you feel are three things that every entrepreneur needs to know?
The three things every entrepreneur needs to know be to have a plan and kind of stick to it, but know it's never going to work out the way you thought of it. Yeah. You're going to be starting up a business and you have a timeline, make sure you add a few months to it, because it's usually things don't always go as planned.
And so true.
Just definitely. And just be compassionate for all your employees. They're part of your team, so you know, no one can really do it alone. So always got to look out for each other.
Yeah, I was that one comes up quite often in terms of, just making sure that the human resource side of your business is really well taken care of. And that's a mantra that we have here at Ample Media as well, is that, you know, everybody really is a family. We spend more time together than what we do with most of our family. So, you know, you really do want to make sure that you have the right people in place. And so I'm glad that that's a value that you guys share as well. And so now, Medicine Hat, for those people who are listening to the show and are not familiar with the geography, that's in the southern, southeastern kind of corner of the province of Alberta. And so you guys are in a fairly small community there. What's the population of Medicine Hat these days?
I think we're sitting around 60 to 65,000. It's pretty much stayed the same for a few years now. So, but yeah, it's a kind of a hidden gem in the southeast corner of Alberta there. So I really like the city. It gets really hot in the summer. So make sure you check it out if you haven't been.
Yeah, totally. Well, and the beer is good. So now I've been sipping on your guys' beers for years and years. And like I said, at the very top, you guys are like one of the founding breweries really of the whole movement. You guys were in the early days of the craft brewery industry here in Alberta, right? So how long have you been in business now?
So we've been about 5.5 years now. So our first pour of beer was December 10th, 2016. I think there was 24 other breweries in the province when we first opened. And now I think the last count I had was 138. So definitely boomed over the past few years, which is great to see for sure.
Totally. Now, some of these businesses, some of these breweries, they have come and gone in that period of time. You guys have, sustained your growth and I see you everywhere. So obviously you guys are doing some good things on the brewing side, but also on the distribution side. What's your secret? How is it you guys have got this staying power to get past those 5 years, which one of my early mentors called the valley of death? If you can survive the first 5 years as a small business, things get a lot easier after that. So what's your secret?
For us, it was always, we wanted to make sure Medicine Hat was happy first. We always knew that was our roots here, and that's where we wanted to make sure that. So we kind of focused on that to make sure we were happy here. We had a huge support system here, and that helped us be able to grow outside the city. And then we had some good sales rep. We had Jacob Ulicki help us in Edmonton, and he really did wonders for us up there. And then we kept growing and growing. And then we moved into Saskatchewan. The whole family's from Saskatchewan, so that was always a goal of ours to get there. And now we just kept pushing borders. So we're currently selling in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, the Yukon, and a bit in the Northwest Territories. So kind of spreading our wings and hopefully get some new markets by the end of this year or next year. So yeah, it's kind of it's not really a secret, but just having a good support system at the start and then helped us get the confidence to grow.
Yeah. So in terms of like the expansion across Canada, each province, I understand, has their own liquor control boards and they probably have their own regulations. How much of a nightmare is that?
It's a pretty big nightmare. Interprovincial alcohol trade within Canada is, they're working on it to make it better, but right now most provinces don't really get along that way. It's different tax structures and stuff. Luckily, Alberta is a pretty big open market. That's why we have such a big boom here. And there's a lot of outside breweries, which is great for consumers because you get outside stuff. But for other provinces, it's a little harder for Alberta to get their beer in. But we were lucky enough to team up with a distribution company called Ethos Beer Distribution. They helped us cut down all the red tape. So they've helped us run wonders getting into Saskatchewan and Manitoba. So without them, it'd be a lot trickier, but we are pretty fortunate to get teamed up with them right away.
Yeah, that's great. So now in the 5.5 years that you guys have been in business, how many have you lost count? Like how many different brews have you made, like different types of beers and varieties?
I think we just did a count the other day. And I think we've done 56 to 60 different beers altogether. So that's, yeah, we are kind of, our goal is to have a beer for everybody. We want anyone who walks through our door to feel welcomed and have something for them. Cause we always say there's nothing worse than drinking a bad beer you don't like. So, so we really try to push the boundaries on how many styles we can make. So we usually run about 6 to 10 cores all year round, but we like to do lots of seasonals. So yeah, we've made quite a few beers over the years.
Yeah. And so out of all those beers, what would you say is your favorite? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Whichever one sells the best.
Spoken like a true owner.
Yeah. But no, I like IPA. So I like our New England, Briar Park, New England Pale Ale and our Industrial Ave IPA. It's been our flagship IPA from day one. And yeah, I don't think it's ever going to go away. So I quite like that beer.
So it's still a favorite. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, really, when you think about it, right? Because the first ones that you're brewing, obviously, you know, you're kind of learning things at that point. And so for it to still be a favorite in terms of a taste, and that is really great.
Yeah, like our blood orange ale, it's our blonde ale with 100% natural blood orange puree to it. We did it in December 2016 as a one-off batch, and then it's still today as our best seller because we sold so fast, we just kept making it. And then, yeah, now it's our number one selling beer. So kind of funny how that works.
Yeah, and I've had that one. That is a delicious beer. I absolutely love the fruit-infused beers and some of the sours and that as well. Are you guys on the sour train down there too?
Yeah, we definitely do. We have a good partnership with Oregon Fruit Products. So they help us out with a lot of our different kind of funky fruits. So we try to incorporate them as much as we can. So right now we have a blackberry rhubarb sour out and it's pretty juicy and pretty flavorful. It's pretty sour though.
Yeah. So when it comes to balancing inventory and all the SKUs and the customer demands and your desire to give everybody who walks through the door a great beer experience, you know, that's got to be a challenge because the inventory management and SKU management is the name of the game for a lot of companies who are, you know, having a lot of distribution. You guys do a lot of distribution. So how do you manage that? How do you balance it?
It's definitely was a big learning curve. Like when we first opened, we were doing a ton of seasonals. Then we realized that liquor stores only have so much room on their shelf. And then as a business, you kind of want to have repeat customers. So you want to make sure that when they go to the store, they can find your product and stuff. So we didn't really want to have too many seasonals going out in that sense, because you kind of want your staples there, push them and have one or two seasonals. So that was really a big learning curve for us because we'd have a huge amount of inventory at our warehouse. And nothing really to go with the door. So we've kind of narrowed that down to doing about one a month right now. But then that's kind of a challenge too, because you do a seasonal and then someone likes it and they want you to keep it going all year. So it's an uphill battle, but I think we're getting through it.
Exactly. And this is one of my biggest beefs about the craft brewery industry, because I find these seasonals that I just absolutely fall in love with and then they're gone, never to be seen again. And it's like, damn it, you guys, come on. Like that was a winner. Like how did that not stay? But I mean, I'm a voting of one, I guess. But,
yeah. Now we get people say that they'll buy a whole tank of beer and we show them how big our tanks are. And they're like, well, maybe I can't.
Maybe not quite a whole tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And it's definitely a balancing act, I'd imagine. So here's a question for you. I mean, I teased this at the very beginning, just in from film school to working on in the oil patch to now being a brewer. So what inspired you to become a brewer and start this down in Medicine Hat?
First off, it's a family-run business, so it was kind of like a lifelong dream of my dad, my brother, and I, and my mom, of course. We traveled quite extensively as when we were younger, which was, we were pretty privileged to do that. We'd always go to the local brewery once I was of age, and then once you're there, you can kind of find local stories and see local ingredients and stuff like that, and hear, talk to local people. We always love that. You kind of get a really feel of where you're going rather than like a chain places. So we kind of wanted to bring that to Medicine Hat. And then we found the Medicine Hat Brewing Company was first originated back in 1912. And then so we kind of brought back that name and all the history to it. So we're pretty pumped and proud that we can spread Medicine Hat's name and history throughout Alberta and now Saskatchewan beyond. So yeah, it's been a pretty cool experience.
Yeah. And that history is just so neat. And I loved what you were saying in terms of, you know, like when you're traveling, you pop into a brewery, it's amazing how many breweries actually have a big historical element to it, whether it's in the naming conventions that they're using for the brews that they're brewing up, or it's just the location, or there's something that's historical oftentimes tied to it, which is just fascinating. I love it.
Yeah, I think lots of breweries, it's a good theme to have, and it's good to have a theme that you can stick with consistency. Yeah. Instead of just doing like random names here and there and stuff. When you have a meaning and a story behind something, it kind of resonates with people more. They're more inclined to keep going and keep reading more stories on your beer cans. So,
yeah. So now because I love beer so much, the craft beers, and I mean, you obviously have a passion for it beyond mine to have started this brewery. How is it that you are not an alcoholic? That would be the thing that's like, how are you not sampling all the time? And it's like, it's gotta be really difficult to have that willpower because you're such a fan of the brewer.
Yeah. Each of our employees get one pint after work each day. So they usually take advantage of that. But at the start, it was kind of a little different, but now 5 years in, it's easy to say no to those after work beers. So, but yeah, it's definitely a challenge. You gotta learn and gotta keep under control for sure, being in this industry.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So back into the business question. So I'm really curious if you in the early days, so 5.5 years ago, you're setting up your brewery, and somebody were to come with a suitcase of money, $1 million to infuse into the business, what would you have done differently than what you did end up doing if you had that big chunk of cash that you could do whatever you wanted with it?
Probably put in the bank for a rainy day, but realistically, probably we have a piece of equipment called our centrifuge. I would have bought that earlier. It's really been a game changer and a lifesaver. So helps us kind of speed up our brews and we can do any clarity we want for them. So that'd probably be my biggest thing. But other than that, we've sent quite a few of our staff to school for like online school for brewing and stuff, because Medicine Hat, there wasn't too many people with experience before. So I'd probably hopefully spend more money on education for staff and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about like just infrastructure and so on? Did you guys build it initially to basically accommodate the growth that you're experiencing, or has that been difficult?
So we took over a Century Valen warehouse in Medicine Hat here. So we had actually quite a big facility that we thought would be a lifelong place, but we've expanded about 5 times now. We've done tons of renovations. We built a whole kitchen. We first opened, we didn't have a kitchen. My brother's a Red Seal chef, so a year into it, we built a kitchen, get a full tap room in there. We've expanded our tanks 5 times. We've now just built a big events room, but it's just getting finished up this month to do private parties and stuff, like Christmas parties. Built a big cooler. So yeah, if I had $1 million, we'll hopefully do all those at once, because doing them in stages is kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, painful, right?
Yeah, definitely.
State of construction.
As soon as you get to one point, you're like, oh, I'm good. The next year comes around, it's like, well, we're back to another renovation. So, which is, it's a good problem to have.
Oh, completely, completely. Now, I'm curious about that, though. Sometimes it's really difficult to fuel the growth with the revenue and the cash flow from within the business. Is that something that you have managed to do, or have you had to look elsewhere for more injections of cash as you've been growing?
We've been doing pretty good with that. We have only had to take one loan from the bank for some new equipment we got for the centrifuge and stuff like that. But we knew doing that would help us grow further. Instead of waiting around for a year or two to try to build the capital, we did it now, and we've definitely grown from it. So definitely a big learning curve again, trying to manage that, because you get to one point you think you're good and you need to grow more, but in order to grow more you need to spend money. So it's kind of like I said before, a balancing act of, is this going to pay off in the long run and have your goals, and make sure when you're spending the money you're spending on the right thing, because cash is king. So it's, you definitely want to make sure your spending's under control. You don't want to be just going crazy on it. So
how do you actually navigate through that? So we talked to a lot of entrepreneurs who face that similar challenge. I think every one of them does, right? Because it's like, well, how much do I spend and when and where? And obviously it's all about trying to grow, but making the right decisions at the same time. Do you have a process that you go through to try to evaluate those opportunities, or is it more of a almost a feel for you?
Kind of a mixture of both. Like, we do our cash flow projections of what we're estimating. We usually go on the low side and like, we're going to make X amount this month. What can we spend next month, kind of thing, and kind of justify our spending and justify our next moves. But we also have expansion plans. We want to export beer to further markets. And in order to do that, we had to get bigger equipment. So that was kind of more on a feeling. Because if we took on new contracts, we wanted to make sure we could fulfill them and not backtrack and get the contract and not do it, because then if you screw that up, then you're never going to look at you again. So kind of got to trust your gut in a way too. So,
So if you were to, pen yourself a letter, your earlier 5.5 year younger self, what kind of advice would you give yourself in that letter?
Probably to take your time. Rome wasn't built in a day. set achievable goals that you can achieve in the next month or this year, kind of thing, instead of just saying you want to send beer all over the world. Start small and kind of grow that way. And the other thing would be keep a daily log. It's good to look back and keep track of how your days went and how things went and how last year went when this beer came out and all that kind of thing. So that's kind of the biggest thing that's helped me out through the years, learning how to do that.
Interesting. The log, I've never heard that from, the 150 entrepreneurs that I've interviewed. And so can you, unpack that a little bit more for us?
Yeah. Like when we first opened, we released a lot of seasonals and stuff. And for the next year, we want to re-release it. It's good to have a notebook to go back to and see how much we spent on this, how much it cost, how long we sold it. We think we could, if there was demand for it after, just kind of notes to look back on for year to year and even day to day to see how your week went and what you can improve on for the next week. I think that's a really crucial thing to do.
Yeah. That's really interesting because there's so many variations that happen throughout the different business cycles that occur through, whether it's times of the year or, seasonality and so on. So for you guys, I imagine the holiday season must be a bit of a spike, but the summer months must be the big beer drinking spike.
Yeah, like it definitely comes in waves. Like January, February is usually slow. September, October are usually pretty slow, but summer and Christmas time are definitely big. But even last June was June 1st, I think it was no masks, everything open, sun was shining. And this June was really rainy and stuff. So having notes to look back on, like why, if your year to year, month to month dates or income is different, it's good to know why and like kind of just to justify in a way.
Yeah.
Because if you go and you look back and it's kind of like, oh, this month sucked compared to that month, like wonder why. And then if you don't have anything to refer to. So,
yeah, completely. I'm also really curious because I've talked to a few brewers over the years, and your industry seems to have a level of collaboration within the industry that I haven't seen in others. And so there's a lot of collaborations that are happening in terms of, co-releasing beers and getting together and doing different recipes and stuff. And so everybody seems to be just in each other's corner, rooting for each other to succeed and promoting each other and so on. It's really unique. Is that just because you guys are all bloody hell drunk or what's going on? Why is it that you guys are so collaborative? What do you think is it about the brewing industry that has really brought you guys all together like that?
Besides the being drunk part, it definitely plays into it.
It helps to have meetings, gatherings where there's alcohol.
Like the craft beer market share in Alberta, I think is at 9 to 13%. So we're still kind of like peas on the plate, really. So we all kind of have the same goal. I don't really see other craft breweries as competition to us, because the big guys have so much market share and they kind of can push their weight around. So we're all kind of fighting the same battle. So if we work together, we can kind of achieve the same goal. I know that's what I've been taught. And that's the kind of the main motto for most breweries and stuff. Like we're might as well work together because we're all in this together, really.
Yeah, because you guys are tackling some massive companies with huge deep pockets and so on, right? Who are also now spinning out their pretend craft beers and stuff as well, right? They're trying to get crafty with their marketing, and so yeah, they're coming at you. there's no question about it.
Yeah. So it's always good. We love doing collaborations. We've worked with a number of breweries over the years. We're hosting the Unity Brew next on September 2nd. So we're getting about 50 breweries down to our facility to brew a beer together. So stay tuned for that, because that should be out in the middle of October.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really exciting. And I know that you were talking earlier before we hit the record button that there's a bunch of breweries that are on Highway 3, right? Which is called the Ale Trail, right? Is that what
you call it? Yeah, so it's the Highway 3 Ale Trail. So yeah, there's 8 breweries there. So it's a nice little tourism. Tourism helps us out with that. So it's a nice little road trip you can do to visit all 8.
Yeah, yeah. And so the summer's incredible to take that trip, even into the falls where you have, you know, all the crops starting to come off and you've got the leaves are starting to turn and everything's beautiful down there. So anybody who wants a nice little excursion, it's incredible if you guys want to check that out. So before we wrap things up though, I did want to ask you a little bit around success. So you guys have grown lots. You've survived that valley of death, that 5-year valley of death, like we talked about. So lots of expansion. Where is success for you? Like, how would you define that? Have you reached it yet? Are you still striving for something that you know, that's still not quite in your grasp yet? What does success look like to you?
It's kind of a tough question, I guess. Success, I guess, always changes. Once you reach something, you kind of set another future goal. For us, it's like we're doing about 5,000 hectoliters a year. So I guess our next goal for success would be 10,000, kind of do the increments like that. But I think success at the end of the day is if you can go home happy, make sure your team's good. Everyone's kind of learning and growing and making a good place to work makes me happy at the end of the day. We're making beer. We're not solving world peace. So we're just, we just want to make sure everyone's happy and we can put out a good product, really.
Yeah. Well, the world would be a happier place if everybody just enjoyed a couple pints from time to time, I think.
Very true.
Yeah. So here's a fun question for you. If you could pick any entrepreneur to, you know, go along with you on this journey, celebrity or not, who would you pick to be your co-entrepreneur in this venture?
I kind of am doing it with my dad, so that'd be my number one choice. He's done a lot of good business over the year, and he's always been good for advice, anything, any help I need. But so I'd say he's my number one that I'd pick. But if I was going to pick a celebrity, probably Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because it seems everything he touches turns to gold.
Oh, my God. Is that not the truth? And he's like in every other movie that's ever released released over the last 3 or 4 years. It's just crazy.
He's
that guy,
not a good actor at all. And he seems to get these million-dollar roles.
Yeah. It's the smile. Or it's maybe the haircut. Maybe it's the haircut. That's
I think it is, right.
One thing that I had read about him too is that I think he gets on average, I think it's like 5 hours of sleep a night is all he does. Like he runs off of hardly any sleep, which makes sense because he has so many, like for those people who don't understand, like just Google the ventures that he has going on. It is massive. Like he's got his hands in so many different ventures. I just don't know how anybody manages it like that. I guess if you're not sleeping.
Sleeping in bed, I guess.
yeah, he would definitely be an interesting guy to have beside you going through this journey for sure. So thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time here today, Caden. It was really interesting to have your perspective as a brewer, and just the background, the history of your brewery down there is really cool. And I just wish you guys all the success, because I personally, like I said at the outset, a big fan of your beers. I've had lots of them over the years, and I'm going to check out this rhubarb sour as well. That sounds amazing.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for having me today. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so for those of you who enjoyed this episode and want to check out our other episodes, you can check them all out over at amplifyyourbusiness.ca, or you can just Google or search for Amplify Your Business on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. We're in all of them as well. So until the next episode, everybody have a wonderful, prosperous day.